This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Friday morning on CliffCentral.com. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is most definitely Uncensored, which is really fascinating for this morning because we are talking about something so different. We always go to the sexual side of the spectrum. And now we are going somewhere else and talking about celibacy this morning. And I don't know why I never thought of this before, but it came up, and I'm really grateful for the topic. It's really fascinating to explore. And some wonderful people come to share with us. So firstly, in England, somebody who I have corresponded with on Facebook, and this is the first time we are actually talking voice to voice, Stevie Ross, good morning.
Good morning, John T. Good to speak to you.
You too, and thank you so much for taking the time and making this possible, because you're at a Tantra Festival at the moment.
I certainly am, yeah, the very first Tantra Fest UK, which is in Gloucestershire in England, and this is the first morning, a gorgeous morning here with a bunch of beautiful, wonderful people.
That's fantastic. So I think I am making it a goal, and I hope Chantal is listening, that next year we are going to come and be there and teach and share with everybody, and that'll be just fantastic.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, brilliant. You'll be most welcome.
So that'll be really awesome. King Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
And you were celibate for how long?
33 years.
And you didn't drive yourself nuts with frustration and everybody else around you?
I probably did.
You probably did.
Thank you for asking, John T. I've been also... No.
No. Tomorrow there are many things you can claim. Celibacy has never been one of them.
Yay, up till the age of 16. It's okay. It's been, you know?
Yeah, well, we don't know if that really counts.
Okay, whatever.
And Harsha has come to share her story as well. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you've got to talk close to the mic.
Okay.
So this is what we are doing first.
Starfish.
Today's Dirty Dictionary word is
catoptronophilia.
Wow.
Dirty Dictionary word.
Catoptronophilia. So one of our listeners sent this to me. So WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Tell us what you think catoptronophilia is. If you have any vague idea and any ideas and questions you have about celibacy. King Pat, you think you know what catoptronophilia is? Is that because you were listening earlier? Oh, because you were outside listening earlier, so you're not allowed to say anything. Tomorrow, any clues?
Let's just drop it.
Harsha, any idea?
No.
No. Stevie, any idea?
Well, I'd like to say yes, but no, I have no idea. Something to do with feline, funky stuff or fetish? Or no, I don't know.
Okay, well, funky, yes. So, really interesting. So, we will, at the end of the show, tell you what catoptronophilia is. I had no clue. I mean, I knew that there was something that existed with this, but I never knew what the word was. So, thank you, James. It's a really cool word.
Mm.
Okay. Now, Stevie, your story is fascinating because you work in the field of Tantra.
I do, yes.
And you're celibate. How does that come together?
Oh, okay. So, good question, because, of course, Tantra is many things to many people. And I often get asked, do I engage in any sexual activity? And physically, I don't. So, physically, I consider myself physically celibate.
Mm.
And, energetically, I have the most beautiful experiences, of, you know, sexual energy experiences, and they then share that with the people who come to visit me and to see me. So on one hand, I have total celibacy with regards to physical connection and not the other. And for me, the Tantra benefits from that. Those people who come to see me benefit from that because they're used to, you know, physical sex and that sort of thing. And then when they're enjoying or when they're introduced to something that's different, and it's how can that happen without even touching, then that's something that they've sort of learned and opened up to. So that's how it works for me.
So that's
And I have to say, this year I have been celibate for, I think it's about 15 years now, something like that. And this year, to challenge myself, I did say that I was going to step into back into the physical sex realm. I haven't done it yet. I haven't felt the need or the desire, but I'm still open to it.
Wow. That's fascinating. What brought about the switch? Why the change?
Well, my story is I was in a relationship for 27 years where we had a most beautiful, passionate, erotic, playful, heavenly, divine, tantric sex life. Absolutely fantastic physical. And then that ended. And I then intended to have intended to carry on having sexual relationships. And the first couple of people I engaged with, it was like, really? Is that it? You know, what is it? What's happening here? And so rather than be disappointed anymore, I chose to have celibacy and explore my own sexuality within, which then, after about 3 or 4 years, became a spiritual practice for me, which then, after about another 8 years or so, became a habit, I think, which is why I'm changing it now. I think I've got myself into this groove of non-physical sexual pleasure, and you know, grooves are great and they're also great to try and get out of. So that's why I'm changing now. In a way, I'm going full circle, because only then can I make a conscious choice. You know, if I just find myself in celibacy, I did choose celibacy, but it was for a reason. So I'm doing the whole spectrum of great sex life and a bit of a, oh, what's this? Oh, I don't want any more of that, so I'm celibate. And it was, that was a conscious choice. And then it just drifted into a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And now I'm wanting to make a stance. So I can go, do I want the spiritual practice? Can I still have that when I'm engaging in, you know, physical sexuality and that sort of pleasure? Or, yeah, what do I want to do in my life around sex and sexuality?
Yeah, because the reasons...
And pleasure, that, and pleasure.
The reasons that we do things change, and then what we do needs to change as we grow and expand. And we need to be very aware of that and not hold on to something just because it's what we've done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to get stuck in the beliefs about it.
Amazing.
King Pat, why did you choose celibacy?
Well, I grew up in a very religious background. And we were taught celibacy before marriage and complete fidelity within marriage. And I took that very, very seriously. And
These boys.
Yeah. So it wasn't an easy journey. It was a journey that took me to many places, brought me happiness at times, and it's given me a sensitivity towards people that I appreciate now.
Okay. And what changed? What was the change to move from celibacy to sexuality?
I would meet somebody, get excited about the possibility of this going somewhere, and I'd get hurt. And the change really came last year, around about June. I got really, really hurt when I was on a trip down to Cape Town, and I remember pulling off near Stellenbosch and crying and phoning my sister and saying, I'm about to kill myself. What the hell do I do? And she calmed me down. We sat down and we spoke over coffee. And I said to her, look, something's got to change. And I realize I'm doing myself emotional harm by not having sex. But I feel if I do have sex, I'll do myself spiritual harm. And I just wasn't sure what the heck to do. And I gave it a thought. I really thought about it hard for about a month and a half after that. And then I decided, well, if I don't change something, nothing will change. And so I've started to explore myself sexually. And I can honestly say I'm a happier person now. And people who are close to me, have known me for a very long time, have seen a change and are happy with the progress that I've made, and see me as happier and a more approachable person now. Yeah.
So there's an interesting thing about that that we'll come back to is the difference between kind of celibacy and abstinence.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Harsha, your story. Why did you make this choice? You've been celibate for how long?
Well, about 20-odd years.
Okay.
So I had an arranged marriage, mm-hmm. Which did not work out. And because there was no love actually in the marriage, it didn't feel right to have someone touch me or become intimate with me. I then, after my divorce, decided to remain celibate. There was a lot going on in my life with regards to, you know, survival. And I think as an individual and woman mainly, go into very deep emotional states of fear, anger, resentment. And I think in that state, you are not really thinking about intimacy. Mm. You're not thinking about sex. You're not thinking about a spiritual connection with anybody. So I had a lot of healing to do myself, within myself. And I think that was probably the main factor for me remaining celibate. And as time went by, I realized that a lot of us are looking for love outside of ourselves. And many times we will cling onto sex as a form of love. But there's a very big difference. And when you realize that love is actually a divine entity, a divine energy, and that it is found within yourself, you grow more connected to that. And you realize that, you know what, I don't really need this unless it is a very connected experience with someone. And you don't look for shallow experiences with people. You don't look for desperate connection. You become very confident in who you are and yourself. Mm. And yes, it's very emotional. It is very lonely as well. But I think it serves you well spiritually.
So I spoke about the difference between abstinence and celibacy. And one interesting definition of that was that abstinence is an external force, that it's driven by something external, whereas celibacy is an internal decision.
Hmm.
What do you guys all think about that? That abstinence would be something imposed on you from something outside rather than an internal choice.
Hmm. I would agree with that. And for me, to be able to make that choice, you have to have experienced one or the other. And a lot of people who come to see me just because they haven't had sex for a long time and they're calling themselves celibate, we have this discussion. Have you chosen this way, or is it imposed because of your circumstances right now? Mm. And so to get clarity around the difference in making that conscious choice and taking some power back in that. Has been quite important for a few people who have been to me, both men and women. A lot of men come to me for that reason. They say, I'm celibate and I don't want to be. And so we just have this little discussion around choice and,
So for a lot of people, the pain or some sort of level of pain becomes the trigger for the choice.
Yes.
Mm. For me, in my case, yes, definitely. Yeah.
And then you were able to transform that.
Yeah.
Into something else.
Yes.
Okay.
If I'd like to sort of just say something at this point, one of the reasons I have made the choice to step back into a physical sexual relationship or connection of some sort is because I realized that one of my reasons for not engaging was the fear that should the man touch this place that I used to have with my husband, there will be a well of grief that will come up from that interaction. Mm. And that's been quite, it took a long time to recognize that. And that's quite a huge fear, because when you're in that moment of beautiful connection, union, whatever you want to call it, I need to know that I can be held should that grief come up, because I don't want to hold it back, because I'm holding something else back of myself. Mm. And so for me, there's still a fear about going into that physical connection again with somebody and breaking the celibacy.
Yeah, and having somebody to hold the space for that, which is not always that easy to find, somebody with that level of presence. Pat, you're agreeing with that.
Yes, firstly, I think it's incredibly courageous to acknowledge our fears and then say consciously that we're going to face them. So huge shout out on that. I think as well that there's also, I would be a little nervous about that in making sure that does this person have the capacity to hold the space?
Oh. Mm.
And that doesn't often come about. So good luck. I hope you find it soon.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
So here's an interesting question that came up because I was quite a few people sent questions in before the show. And one of the interesting was, does celibacy include or exclude masturbation, self-pleasuring?
Yeah.
Harsha, does it for you or is that a no-no?
It's a no-no for me.
Okay, because? Yeah.
I think because of religion,
mm-hmm.
I have been taught that we should not by any means, involve ourselves in sexual activity if, you know, you want to be celibate. And that's the way to the divine, and you should not violate that space, that energy. You should keep it as pure as possible.
Has that ever been frustrating for you, not allowing the expression of your sexual energy?
Yes, because, I mean, there are times when you do feel the need that you need to be held, that you need to express yourself.
Mm.
And there is absolutely no way that you could do anything about it, you know, and you're frustrated. So I think a lot of the times we have to decide where we want to go and what we want to do with our decisions. The way that we've been socially conditioned as well plays a very big role in our choices that we make.
So it's a path that requires incredible dedication and discipline.
Mm. In my case, not so much dedication and discipline. It's more anger and frustration, you know, and that you then focus somewhere else. It's like I have to focus on my work or I have to focus on my kids and I have to focus on, you know, making us safe in a family environment. Mm. So the attention is always split on other things. And yes, when you are quiet and lonely and no one is around, you know, it becomes very, very lonely. It becomes a very dark space as well. And yes, most times suicidal as well. You know, you feel that, you know, no one loves me or I'm not loved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a painful experience. Yeah.
And what about the possibility of a space where you could be physically held by someone in a non-sexual way?
You know, this is why I did Bhai Danza, actually. Mm. And my very first Bhai Danza experience, October of 2016, I think it was, that every time people touched me, you know, in a non-sexual way, I would burst out crying.
Mm.
I would just cry for hours, and it would feel as though I was just a nutter in the whole group. You know, I was just crazy for crying that much. And even hugs, you know, because I happen to be alone in my life, you know, no siblings, and I do have kids, but I mean, they're now grown up and they're away from home. And, you know, just being hugged, being held, that brought up a lot of emotion, a lot of tears, a lot of, you know, it was as if, you know, it's so nice to be loved. It's so nice to be held. And it was, I think it was very healing for me as well. And then when I joined the second Bhai Danza course, it was the House of Women. And that was also very eye-opening to me as who I am as a woman, because there's like six archetypes, you know, and where's my Aphrodite? Where is she? Mm. I need to find her. So I think women who are also celibate lose that part of themselves in more of other archetypes of the warrior type, of the mother type, and, you know, and we just forget who we are as women.
Interesting, in the field of Tantra and in conscious sexuality practices, Stevie, the possibility definitely exists for non-sexual physical contact, just for somebody to be held, to be touched in ways that are more about sensuality. And for me, the defining difference often between sex and sensuality is intimacy. That sex is often not intimate, but sensuality involves the heart.
Yeah. And as we speak, I'm just noticing actually there's a whole queue of people standing outside the area that I'm holding at this this Tantra Fest, which is the Temple of Love. And it's a space where people can come into inside. We have boundaries to give them safety and to give us the ability to step further into where we need to, we want to go with these people. And we ask what would they like. It's a non-sexual space. It's an intimate space. And in this one, we've actually introduced playful erotica, which is not something I tend to play with outside of private sessions. And people are usually, we get asked, if would you hold me? Will you stroke my face? Will you just look at me? Will you just sit close to me? And some people would ask, can we be naked? And some people don't want you to be naked. They want to be rocked. They just want tenderness. They want intimacy, and the heart, just, it has to be from that heart space. And for me, this is energetic as well, as you know, it's, in fact, sometimes the energy, the energetic, it rather the physical, still works at a deeper level. And so intimacy is so important. And I think the trouble is we've been conditioned to believe that sex brings intimacy rather than intimacy can lead possibly to sex, you know. We've just got it a bit I was going to swear then.
You're allowed to. On this platform, you can say anything you like.
a bit arse about face, as we say in the UK.
It's a really interesting one, because lately, in quite a lot of my work, I've been moving much more towards the heart being the entry point for pleasure experiences rather than the genitals. That when the genitals are the entry point, it has to be only about arousal. And that's not always present, and it's not always in sync with your partner, and so many other issues around that. But when the heart is the entry point, everything changes.
Yes. And of course, it's the heart that gets closed down when we've been hurt, or we're in fear, or we're in judgment. And so this is the area that... this is where it went into a spiritual practice for me, to be with my heart. And what is my heart really wanting now? Or what's happening in that heart space? And to been able to get to know that side of me before, well, not before my sexuality, because that was present from being a youngster. Yeah. To reconnect with that heart space, to allow that opening into intimacy and deep pleasure and love and divine connection, whatever we want to call it. Yeah.
Pat.
When I was growing up, we were always taught that, you know, that physical intimacy should be the crown of the relationship rather than the foundation. And so building that intimacy in those relationships through the heart, as we've been saying, is what we were taught. But we were never taught how. And we never speak about what that is.
Give them the tools to do it.
Or the tools, you know. And so even now, I still... and I think, well, we talk about intimacy, I'm like, what is that? I don't understand what that is. And I think that's where quite possibly my celibacy became really, really difficult and turned into more of an abstinence, where it felt like it was imposed on my society rather than a choice that I was making. And I think that if we, you know, if we're teaching people that we should be celibate outside of marriage, then we should absolutely be talking about what intimacy is, how we can generate it, and not be afraid to talk about it. And I think a lot of it comes down to fear of where the lines, and not understanding always where the lines are.
You know, what's fascinating about that is it comes back to almost every conversation that we have, which comes down to education, which comes down to communication and learning and giving people the tools to do this. And it just affirms, and I'm sure that hearing that you feel the same, Stevie, of how important this work is and the bigger impact of it on people's lives. Because I listened to you guys, Harsha and to Pat, and the stuff you've been through, and that pain that comes through is incredible, that in your lives could have been different.
And, you know, there was a point where 2 years ago that I did have a very short relationship. And in that time, you know, I understood what it meant to be open in your heart space. Because that was a very beautiful experience for me. And, of course, you're very cautious as well. But there comes a time when you actually do let yourself go. and you do fill yourself with that experience in that moment. Right. And then when it was all gone, it was like, I'm not going to indulge in sex or an intimate relationship with anybody unless it is on the same level. Mm. You know, you have to be connected in with your heart. You have to be, it has to be a spiritual experience and that emotional connection as well. It's just not, it's not about having a physical relationship with somebody. There's a very big difference between sex and love and love in your heart space and opening up from your soul. And that was something that grew me incredibly so spiritually. And and I think that's that for me was, and I think the thing is, if people learn from their relationships, it would be a better ground for them to actually understand and be more aware of who they are.
Yeah, but you know, there is a thing in relationships that or as human nature, we always want to be stagnant. We want to grow, but then it creeps on us.
Yeah.
We just want to be comfortable. And then you want to change all the time. And the things you have been describing and Sivi and King Pat, it's a verbalization of deep emotional growth. And as you describe, Harsha, you want to also find your Aphrodite. You want to find that sexual power, but you don't have to perform for that. Or, you know, as you said, you don't have to share it with anyone.
Yes.
So it's just, it's a wonder, because doing it with two people, it challenges you more. Mm. Many times it brings a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
So, what comes through in this often is the incredible courage to love deeply and openly.
Yes.
Because of the risk that involves to you and to relationships when you are willing to put more and more on the table.
I'll be honest with you, it scares the bejeebus out of me. Yeah. the concept of being in such a close, intimate relationship. Yeah. I am petrified of that, but I so want it.
Yeah, no, you know, I agree with you there, because although it is scary, it is a ground for me. I feel that there's a deep trust in such a relationship, and therein I have all my hidden fantasies and what I would like to do and explore with that person. But it also has to be close, heart space, soul entwined. It has to be beautiful for me to be able to do what I want to do. There has to be a deep sense of trust in that relationship.
For sure.
And again, carry on, Stevie.
I was just going to say, I was just sort of reflecting on, I guess, my work and versus, if you like, my personal life. Because in my work, I have these beautiful, deep, intimate soul heart connections with people for that 2 or 3 hours, however long it might be. And then that's what I would love to have in my personal life. And yet there's something in myself, in my personal life, that is fearful of that. And for me, what it is, I think it's to be known and loved and wanted for this side of me, because I actually want somebody to accept me and love me for my fears, my anger, my rage, my creativity, you know, the shadow side as well. And so for me to break my celibacy, this is what I'm looking for. I love all the qualities and the experiences I have in my, you know, the things I offer to people. I like that with somebody who will also accept the shadow as well. And for me, that's true intimacy. And that's what will break my celibacy, I think. Yeah. I feel like I'm putting an advert out here now on this radio station. My number is.
If we can help you find that, that would be absolutely incredible. I have a question, because Pat needs to leave us in a few minutes. How do you go from this to pole dancing?
Well, my pole dancing actually came while I was still celibate.
Okay.
I watched a competition. I enjoyed seeing it. I was challenged to give it a go. And I've been loving it. It's been fantastic.
Are you dancing professionally?
Super.
I don't get paid for it.
Okay. Not yet.
So that's for the love of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you do it fantastically.
Thank you very much.
Which I've seen in another place.
Awesome. I'm really grateful that you came to share with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for allowing me the space. I appreciate it.
It's a beautiful story. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I so get what you say, Stevie, because before I was in the relationship that I'm in, as a practitioner, you share incredible depths and sensuality and experiences with people. And then you walk out of that alone. And it's a fascinating space to be in and just to observe it and to feel everything in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I often say to people each time now, I say, I just need you to know I will be getting as much out of this as you will be. Is that okay for you? I will be taking my pleasure from this and my depth. Is that okay with you? So I feel I need the consent from them before I just take it. But yes, you're right. And then I walk out alone. And for several days, that feeling that we've shared stays with me. Mm. That's great. Mm. You know, and yes, I suppose I could see clients every day. I don't. I just see a couple of months. But it's the other side of it as well that I'm wanting, if I decide to break celibacy.
Yeah, the fullness of it.
The fullness, yeah, the shadow and the light combined as that one, you know. Yeah. But also there's this thing for me about the energetic celibacy. Mm. You know, people, I do have this the most incredible, you know, orgasmic, if you like, tantric orgasmic or just whatever you want to call it, experiences, because my understanding is sexuality is, or my experience is, sexuality is part of how I am, not what I want to do. Mm. And so it's there as an expression. Mm. And so in dance, for example, my sexuality comes out and it can scare people. and some other people are attracted to it. You know, it's quite interesting to have it observed.
The right people won't be scared.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about that is that we tend to put the idea of sexuality in quite a narrow box with some very narrow labels and definitions. And in fact, the genital aspect of sexuality, as huge and vast as it is, especially when you know a lot about it, really is enormous. Mm. But it's still only one aspect of sexual expression. And there is so much more in the fullness of sexual energy. And I think that's the difference. It's an expression of sexual energy rather than an expression of pure kind of body sex.
But we are not taught to express that sensual energy.
No. And
dance, you know, drink water with passion, enjoy a hug, enjoy. We don't do that.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing that comes from what you said, Stevie, and I think that you're going to agree with us, Harsha, in some way, is that we fear intensity. We've been kind of taught to fear intensity. We're happy with mediocrity. We're happy with kind of a level of ease and comfort. But the intensity for a lot of people is scary when we really bring ourselves out. And I think this might impact on women more than men. Mm. And we spoke about this last week when we spoke about sexually empowered women. That it's men's greatest fantasy as well as their greatest fear.
Yeah.
So the fantasy is that there is nothing a sexually empowered woman will not do. So all of their fantasies are going to be fulfilled. But the fear is that he doesn't know how to deal with that, to hold the space for that.
Exactly. And that's probably been one of the reasons for myself holding back as well.
Yeah.
In that, you know, when you're looking for a partner or when you find a partner, and if they're unable to hold that space for you in which you would be free to express yourself, you don't want to go there.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. It's going to a place of communication.
Yeah.
So when you communicate with yourself, what I hear from you and from King Pat and from you, Stevie, as well, is that once it's a whole self-discovery, it's quite a challenge.
Yes.
But once there's another person, then you really, really have to use all those tools that you actually learn when you were celibate. And you actually have to say, well, this is what I need and I know me quite well.
It's almost like saying, you know, I have a standard.
Yeah.
And if you don't meet up to that, then, you know, there's no point.
Mm.
And what I found is that being celibate has also increased my intuition a lot and my sense of, you know, sensing things and sensing energies. And, you know, when I meet somebody, I can almost instantaneously say, you know, that their energy is good or bad. Mm. And even when it comes to meeting someone for coffee for a date, you know, you can almost instantly say that I would like to meet this person again, or no, I don't want to meet this person again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's done me a favor. because I don't really like wasting my time.
That's so, yeah. That's the other side of not wasting your time.
Yeah, I just feel that time for me is so precious. And in all the time that I have dedicated to myself, in my self-growth and my self-love, I feel that, you know, if someone is not really going to come to the table with, you know, love in the way that I know it to be, then I don't want that.
But how do you stay flexible? How do you stay, because it's almost, you know, to find people to share experiences with is maybe you can, but to find a real partner, we all know it's really difficult.
You know, you do find some people that are open spiritually, that you can discuss such things with, you can discuss feelings with.
So in Tinder, you write spiritually open.
No, actually. Tinder was something that I said, looking for a soul connection.
Okay.
But you know what? It just never, don't ever go on Tinder. There's just so too many fake profiles on there.
So a question for Stevie and for you. You've learnt an enormous amount about yourself in this journey. Has it given you the gift of loving yourself more?
Yes. And it took a while. It took a very long while for me to understand. And it was only in, I think, in the last year, my first Biodanza experience in October last year, that was when I realized that, hell, I need to love myself. You know, and that was, I mean, a long time for me to be not loving myself and giving my energy to other people and for other needs and not for myself. Sure. So, yeah, it was a very long journey to actually realize I need to love myself.
Stevie, what's that done
well,
for you?
Well, it's funny. As you asked me the question, my mind sort of shut down, which means it's a deep one for me. My mind doesn't want to go there. I believe I love myself. I have a beautiful life. And for me, it's more a case of all this love that I have for myself. It feels so much in my heart and, you know, and the rest of my body. I want to share it with somebody. And it's the not sharing it, which I'm now playing with the idea that that might be not loving myself. So I'm sort of, this might just be a mind thing, but something around when I can step back into that totality of connection with somebody, that will be an act of loving myself. I've not thought of that before and I've not spoken it before, but there is something about with me stepping back from the intimate connection I want and to be met in that is an act of not loving myself. But like I say, this is really just coming straight from wherever it's coming from in me now, so I've not thought about it much.
You would be open to the possibility of a sexual relationship?
I am open to it. It is possible. Yeah, that was my intention for this year. Yeah, that's all possible. But of course, I have to be met.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Asha, was that a cow?
It wasn't a cow. It was a beautiful being who actually come and stepped up to me and stroked my hair. Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Just like
Asha, for you?
Yeah,
of course I would be open, but as I say, you know, they have to meet me at the level that I am at.
You know, when you have such depth, Asha, this is something that you'll have to have a lot of communication skills. I can see, because you know a lot, and many people have not gone through that journey. And when I'm looking from that place of not having walked the path you've walked, and I have seen Jonty, you know, healing and helping hundreds, if not thousands, of people for the time that I've, you know, been knowing him, and I know from the little that I see how much you need to communicate.
True.
So, but I think you have, Stevie, that also I can hear from you. You are much clearer. There's no much anger. There's just clarity. So it's like, okay, let's make a plan how we meet each other. But sometimes it's overwhelming how much people that haven't walked the path don't understand, if it makes sense. It's such a big gap.
It's the same with people who haven't walked a conscious sexual path. Yeah. They have no real idea of what those experiences are.
So there's something that is very important with regards to communication and wanting to help someone understand your position. Mm-hmm. It's that willingness to be able to listen and that willingness to be able to receive what you're saying. And if that's not there, you can't get through.
All right. Mm. That's cool.
And that's being received. Mm. And that's a big part of what this work is, Stevie, is a space to receive someone.
Yeah. I think also there's a willingness to listen, but there's an inability to hear. Mm. And I know my own connections in my own personal life, I will say something that I think is really clear. And it is with regards to time. Let's just say, for example, I would say, let's all meet at 1 o'clock. Mm. And then people say, oh, no, I didn't hear that. You know, four people in the group may have heard that. Mm-hmm. But three people who are in that same group did not hear that. So there's something about an inability. They've got a willingness to listen, but an inability to hear. And that's what I find really tricky.
Mm. Yeah, and that's part of the journey of growth and healing ourselves, and seeing where we are, where our attention is not present.
Mm. It is. It's presence as well. That's the key. That's the key. Yeah. So a lot of this is presence. Yeah.
I wrote something this week, so the article will be up on my website on Monday, which said basically that the greatest gift you can give yourself in your life is presence. Yeah. And the greatest gift you can give your lover is presence.
Yeah.
And that's really where it is. When we're present, all of us is there. And learning to be present is the gift. That's the journey of life. And in that's where you find yourself. That's where you find another. That's where you find life, where you find world, where you find your body, where you find your heart, where you find your spirit.
And your fears.
Mm. Yeah, everything that's you, your light and your shadow is in presence.
Yes.
And that's really the power of it. Huh. That's really, really beautiful. So let us do this. Catoptronophilia. Put you all out of your misery. Not that I'm sure it caused
King
great
Pat
misery.
Knew it. In King Pat knew it.
Only because he heard me talking about it.
Oh, he heard you talking. That's
before.
True. So?
It is being aroused by watching yourself have sex in front of a mirror.
That's not very sad.
Oh, my God. That's another label I can put on myself.
There you go. You can call yourself a catoptronophiliac and add it to your list of requirements for somebody.
Exactly. Have a mirror
put it out
in your bedroom.
On Tinder. I'm looking for somebody to share catoptronophilia with and see. Jeez. Anybody who knows what that is deserves a coffee.
Or a lick or something.
Absolutely.
Something wonderful.
That is really an
question
awesome
before
one.
We're done. Harsha, did you envision the first physical touch you're going to have with that beautiful person in your mind?
All the time.
Is there any details that you would like to have there, or are you trying to avoid the fantasy, not to be disappointed or to be flexible? How is it like when you imagine it, if I can ask?
It is something that I envisage when I feel deep love inside myself. And it's the first point of connection that I feel with the other person, you know, and it has to do a lot with the entry point being the eyes.
Like the eye gazing.
Yes. And for me, that's where it stops, because that has to be the most beautiful thing for me. And I have experienced that.
Wow.
And I would love to experience that again.
That deep soul connection of eye gazing.
And after that, I mean, you know, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. You can explore anything. You can be anyone. And that's the starting point for me.
So it might even stop there.
Yeah, it might
and
even
take
stop
steps
there.
And steps.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And Stevie?
And I just heard that. I'm going, yes, I can feel it. And for me to expand that experience and expand is the breath. So when I have that finger touch or that just eye gazing is to really breathe that in straight way through down to my body, wherever it goes to, and expand it. And then if the other person's able to do that, you know, and that's where I would like to go into deeper connection.
I love it. Beautiful. I love it.
It's a whole new, actually a new workshop that I've created for couples, which is called Learning to Touch. And it's learning to touch with words, learning to touch with breath, and learning to touch with your hands. And we're going to be doing it as a weekend retreat quite soon for couples. And
it's so important,
that.
Janti.
And that's really
that takes you out of your genitals. It gives you options to expand a sensual, sexual experience to all your body and essence. It's
one
beautiful.
Of the most beautiful things is some of the ways that Shanti and I have developed to touch, which are just another dimension. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Stevie and Harsha. This has really been a beautiful conversation, and it's something definitely to come back to again. And Stevie, for making the time from where you are and making it technically possible.
Yeah.
Sitting in the middle of Gloucester is absolutely amazing.
This is a first for me, I have to say. So thank you so much for the invitation, and it's been a wonderful experience. And I hope anybody who's listening has place that maybe they can contact you to ask more questions and that they get the answers to the to what they need for
and if
choosing
people would
celibacy.
Like to contact you, Stevie, how do they do that?
You could email me at consciouscamp@gmail.com.
Conscious what?
Camp,
C-A-M-P.
Camp.
Yes, C-A-M-P. Consciouscamp@gmail.com.
Wonderful.
C-A-M-P.
C-A-M-P, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again. So I will be in Mozambique next week swimming with the whales and dolphins on a beautiful retreat called Making Love with Life. And that is about how to live.
Stevie wants to come over.
Yes,
so get on. There is somebody coming from England just for the retreat next week, which is absolutely awesome.
Wow.
They heard our live orgasm show, and it had such impact on her that she is coming to share with us next week, which is so incredibly wonderful.
Beautiful.
It's amazing to be able to share this. So maybe one day you're going to join us on the beach in Mozambique, Stevie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
And I really like the idea of us being there next year at this festival. It sounds just
awesome. At Tantra Fest, you would be most welcome, Jonty. Really.
Thank you. So we will start working towards that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And we wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.